love in all the same old places. Found the bottom of the bottle's always dry. But when you pulled out your heart, I didn't waste it. Cause there's nothing like your love to get me high. And you're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strong.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Sunshine and beautiful for your Saturday, high in the mid-60s. Clouds move in Sunday, chance for showers late, and the wind picks up. Highs in the upper 60s, a few spots near 70. Currently, it's 66.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. Friday edition of the show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you all are having a great Friday afternoon out there. Got your host, James, behind the mic. Solo show, but I am not alone. I got all of you to hang out with. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Call up and join us with your sports takes, feelings, what's going on. There's a billion sports happening right now. You've got to have a feeling about one of them or something or all of them. Call up and let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. We're going to get into a couple of heavy ones today. We're going to get into the NFL schedule a little bit. The NCAA. Were just sent to, well, I should say the Big Ten was just sent a warning. I want to talk about that. Shots fired over there. River Kings action. Speaking of shots fired, River Kings going to be shooting the puck tonight. We're talking about that. That'll be coming up a little bit later. But of all the seriousness that we have to talk about, at some point in the next hour, it's time that we discuss the Skipping Stones controversy that happened almost a month ago, the stone skimming. Some sports shows are afraid to talk about people, but we're not. We will talk about it. We'll get into that a little bit later. Remembering an icon, a couple of things like that. But to me, I feel like we got to begin with baseball, right? Big night, not only with, of course, the Brewers and Cubs situation, but the Dodgers and Phillies and the way that one ended. And I don't like to start any show I do on a negative or end it on a negative. So I'm not going to do that necessarily. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Whether you're tired of them or not, whether you think they're buying baseball or not, you still got to go out there and hit the ball. You still got to go out there and do it. And what they've accomplished and what they've done in the last decade, if not the last couple of years, is impressive. I think it's impressive. I'm not rooting for them. I've gotten enough Dodgers in me. I admit that I'm a Mookie Betts fan, but I've seen Mookie win twice, so I'm good. I don't need the Dodgers to keep winning. And I kind of wanted to see Philly keep going because I also like Kyle Schwarber. And does Kyle Schwarber know he's playing baseball? I think Kyle Schwarber thinks he's playing softball. I really do. And I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that as maybe like one of the biggest compliments I could give a baseball player. Like, he's out there just swinging like it's softball. And has the cool. Nobody talks about the ice water in his veins. It doesn't matter if it's playing for the Cubs and knocking them out of Wrigley, or it is the home run derby, or he is doing what he did in this, not just this past game, but the game before that. Kyle Schwarber, man, like, I believe he's going to be a free agent this year. And I don't know. There's a couple of teams I'd like to see him on. I hope he continues doing what he's doing, because I like players like him. I also think they're a dying breed. They're a dinosaur. We don't have many more of them anymore. I don't know how many more we're going to get of the Kyle Schwarber type of player. But Philly, I feel like, had one here slip away. And could have actually come out of it with a huge, not just victory, but maybe momentum changer for them. And I could be talking about either Philadelphia team right now, Eagles or Phillies. The Phillies had their season end, of course. Bigger stakes, a lot more on the line. Also, a little bit more understandable when you're going up against the evil empire of the Dodgers, the new evil empire. The old one is dead. The Yankees, they may come back. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. They're the Yankees. But that beast is gone. The Yankees are, I mean, it's been 20-some years. I believe I saw something of, like, the Texas Rangers have as many titles as the Yankees do in the last 20 years or whatever. They're not the evil empire anymore. You can look at them that way, and many of us that grew up with them being that can't help but look at them that way, but they're not really that anymore. It's like, as much as they want to hype it up, the Red Sox and the Yankees rivalry is still competitive and still interesting, but it isn't what it used to be. Other rivalries have taken over the sport. The Dodgers are that new evil empire. They are that new one. And Philly had a chance to, you know, beat it. Because I think they had the momentum. They definitely had the pitching going, even though you had a pitcher's duel last night. But Orion Kering's just mental error is I don't know. Have you seen, when's the last time you saw a game that ended that way, that was that gut-wrenching? Because I didn't have anybody, I wasn't really rooting for either team. I just gave you my, you know, my data there, and I don't know. I wasn't. Honestly, I didn't really care which team moved on. I just didn't want to see either one of these teams in the World Series. But to see anybody's season, even my most hated rival, if they're in that situation, to see them end their season end in that kind of way. It's one thing to make a mental error. We've all done that. It's another to make one where in the moment you're doing it, you realize it's the wrong move. For those that didn't see the play, it's a grounder right up to the pitcher, and I believe it hits his foot, and there's not a clean play on it, but it's still a easily a doable play that many players have made many times before, and that's not a shot at Orion. It's just trying to give some story to the context of this, and he can throw it to first. and end a game, or end an inning, I should say. And it's still 1-1, and you're going in, you know, into the next next inning and stuff. You're going to keep this going, and I think Philly has a chance to win it. And he is not looking up. He's already panicking when the ball is not a clean. It's not a clean hit. I think the panic begins when it hits his foot or it hits the mound, whatever happened there, and he's kind of becomes a bull in a china shop, where he's fumbling for the ball almost. And in that moment, he's got his head down. And I don't know many times I've seen a pitcher, they'll glance down to grab the ball, but their head is always up. If you notice that, they're looking at catcher first in the catcher. But his head's down. And so he doesn't even see JT Realmuto pointing to first and telling him, throw it to first. I think it's weird that he was already showing him this. I would think that the pitcher would already know, but maybe it's just instinct on JT's part, whatever the case. The kid doesn't even see it. And he throws it to home, doesn't get it in time. Dodgers win, moving on. I don't want to say heartbreaking. I don't like using those terms, when it's not apt. But it's if you're a Philly fan, for darn sure it is. It's a rough way to end your season. I want to give the kid a lot of credit. He's in the locker room afterwards. He's answering all the questions. He's got his head up. I give his teammates credit. It sounds like they had his back. And no game is won or lost on one play. No game in human history has ever been won or lost on one play. There are thousands of things that happen in a game that lead up to this one play that we focus on and talk about. But man, it's one that you gotta own and you gotta live with. And, you think of the Bill Buckners and the different people that we remember because of these things. And you hope for, being able to outlive this, to be able to have higher moments and stuff. We'll see. Hopefully next season he's able to do that. Dodgers moving on. Find out who they face. Because that's going to be an interesting matchup. That's whatever the case is, whoever they face. I do think that that leads us, of course, to the Brewers and Cubs. And no getting around it. Was not the night that Milwaukee wanted. And it was you when you're facing a team, and I know that the Cubs were it was 2-1 going into the series, into the game. But I think when you're facing a team, you know how this team is coached. You already know how this team is coached. You had this coach. You had this manager. You know his MO. What Council does, and better than a lot, is so good at building a locker room up and building it around us against the world. Craig Council's got this calm demeanor to him at times, but that is that's a shark right there. That's a predator right there. And he's got that team built up that they got their back against the wall, and they are in full attention. I don't know that Milwaukee had that. I don't know that Milwaukee had that. You got to step on their throat and kill them. You got to end it. That's what makes a championship. That's the dirty secret about all of this, all of these sports, all of these games. Nobody gives you anything. You've got to take it. You've got to fight for it. You've got to earn it. You've got to work for it. And every single pitch, every single inning, you've got to want it more than the other guy. And it can't just be that. There's a lot of luck. There's a lot of skill, a lot of practice. But all those other things, I don't know. I think the glue to all of that is that manager being able to build you up and get you to realize, hey, our season could be over here. And do you want to lose? And do you want to lose to your rival? Do you want to do that? It's the same thing that Pat Murphy is going to be doing in the other locker room now. Because I don't believe, and I've been very honest with my father, who is a diehard Cub fan. I've been very honest with him that I don't care about last night's results. I don't care that it's 2-2. I have my feelings about the Milwaukee Brewers have not changed one bit since the playoffs started. They're still the team to beat. They still have things going in their direction. And I think they are still in the driver's seat. I think one of the benefits you have in baseball and basketball and hockey, you can have these games in a series and still come back and win the whole thing. You don't get that in a one-off. You don't get that in football. Football, you have a bad day in the playoffs, your season's over. You may even lose your job. You can come back from things in baseball. You can come back from things in basketball and hockey. I think the Brewers are going to show that tonight. I mean, until they prove me otherwise, I can't believe if it's just Pat Murphy going out there tonight, just him. I'm being dead serious right now. If it's just Pat Murphy going out there, I still give the Brewers a shot. That's the way that man manages. Everything the council's doing in that locker room to get the Cubs to 2-2, to get them to where they are right now, Pat Murphy knows it better than anybody. So what do you think he's doing in that dugout right now? What do you think he's doing over there? There's no panic in this team. They don't have a reason to panic. The series is dead even, so it might as well be 0-0. And I think that what you're looking at is a possible bullpen game. If you're going to have a bullpen game, I'm starting Miz, and I'm going to see how many innings I can get out of the kid. The Brewers have proven, as much as the Cubs have proven, that you can go down 3-4 runs in the early innings and come back in a game. It's a long game. I say give him the ball. Give him the ball, give him the mound, and see what he can do. We've seen rookie pitchers step up plenty of times in the playoffs. If you're going to make a bullpen game out of it, at least, I think you start with him. I think you let him out there. And I do think that you hit the accelerator. I do think that you get this team excited. You get them to understand what's at stake here. But there's no panic in Milwaukee right now. There shouldn't be. Again, I think they're in the driver's seat. They are the hunted. And I think that you got to act like that. You got to go out there and you got to approach the game that way. I think that's what we're going to see. What do you think? I'm much more interested in that. I already know what I think, and I really am not that interested in it, even before I knew. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Love to talk to you about it. What did you think of the game last night? Especially correct me if I'm wrong on this and you're seeing it otherwise. But I think that you have, and I admit to sometimes looking for silver linings in the worst places, but I think you have the one advantage that you have in these leagues and these sports that you don't have in football. You can have a loss like this, and you can learn and grow and be better from it. In football, you're learning from your mistakes at home, enjoying your off season. They have a chance, okay, we did this, this, and this wrong. We can learn from it, go back out there tomorrow and get the W. So and with again the chess match that is going on right now between Council and Murph is awesome and amazing and just as worthy talking about as everything else about this series. So I have no doubt that that's going to be happening tonight. We're going to see that play out tonight. The chessboard is set, and it should be good. Should be a good one tonight as well. Detroit, Seattle. Winner takes all. Skubal on the mound against George Kirby. Tarik Skubal, of course, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Many would argue he is the best. I think Seth and I are probably leaning towards Paul Skenes on that one, but I've heard a lot of people that I respect take Tarik, so I'm not going to argue that one. I'll take either one. And George Kirby is no slouch. Darn good season for him, and a great postseason pitcher, if I remember right. Going up against Tarik Skubal to try to save your season, to try to move on to the next round, it's the ultimate, you know, end-of-level boss that you have to face. How bad do you want it? How can you do this? On paper. But if you look and you read between the lines, And I want to send a shout out to MLB.com for some nice work on this one. I was able to look up a couple of these stats on my own too, just throwing them into the Googler and everything. When facing Skubal for the Seattle Mariners, they've been pretty good all season. They have faced him three times and beat him each time, including in Game 2 of this series. So while it does seem like on paper, like, oh, that's Derek Skubal, is one of the best pitchers in baseball, I don't know if Seattle's had his number. Of all the teams for him to face, this may be more of a, you know, the villain or the you know, the boss at the end of the level may actually be for Skubal, and it might be, you know, Seattle. Might be the other way around. Either way, though, it should be a good one tonight. It should be good. Who do you got? Who do you got in tonight's game? Let me know. Detroit, Seattle. I'm taking Seattle, but I'm not taking them with a lot of confidence. I'm not putting money on it or anything. I'm putting pride in my name on it. But I'm not putting money or anything on it. I don't think there's ever been a game in my life that I've ever thought about. I even wanted to put a dollar on. Of all the subjects that I don't have any. There's no judgment here. To each their own. And I think every one of my friends does stuff like that. So I mean, I got no judgment here. But for myself, I of all the feelings, I've never. I don't know. It doesn't interest. I don't have a pull to it. But I am curious what you think. We could put something I think that can be worth a lot more than money, pride, on the line. Unless you're talking some of the money people gamble, which is insane. So maybe it is a little bit more. But still, pride. Who you got? Call up. Let us know. You can also hit us up through the Civic Media app, texting us. Want to hear from you, everybody. Before I go to break, just a couple of other things I wanted to touch on here. Vlad Guerrero in the last series against the Yankees, he moves on with Toronto, waiting to see who they're going to face. Vladimir Guerrero is the second player in MLB history after Hank Aaron in 1969 to have a home run and multiple runs batted in, ribbies, in each of his first three career postseason games. It's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Hank Aaron. End of list. In the history of baseball, that is, let me double check here, 15,000 years old. These two guys, okay, maybe not that old, these two guys own this achievement. And it's one of these stats that they, you know, the stat brains out there, and I kind of am one of them. I'm not really one because I'm not smart enough to be one, but I find it interesting. And you can go ahead and tear it apart and everything. It's not this record, it's not that record, whatever. It's still cool. Like, I don't say these things because we have to make a, okay, now Vladimir Guerrero Jr. needs to be known as, you know, this day going forward needs to be known as Vlad Day or something. I like it. I know. I just think it's a cool stat, and I think it's pretty wild that in the history of baseball, only two guys have done this. That's pretty darn amazing. And what he's doing is so darn cool to me, too. I'm a big guy into batting stances and batting styles. I think there's a real art to it and something very cool and unique about it. From Julio Franco to Will Clark, you know, to Ricky Henderson, all these different styles and everything. Side note, call up 715-424-2600. Your favorite batting style in MLB history. Or text it to us as well if you'd like. Favorite batting stance, MLB history, go. Vlad does this thing that is a little bit different than his dad, where his dad, I think, never saw a pitch he didn't like. And nothing against him. Great player. Enjoyed watching him play. Although half the time I didn't know what team Vlad Sr. was playing for because he had so much pine tar on his helmet, you couldn't really see the logo. His son is very interesting in his approach. He's not trying to necessarily hit a home run. For him, and especially if you watch the way he swings, which is both sweet and violent at the same time, he's going for a direct hit and to put this ball and wherever he can as far as away from the play, away from the fielders, anything like that. He's not necessarily trying to hit home runs. He only had about 24, I think, this past season. he's changed his kind of approach to the game. In the modern day where it seems like it's just home runs or strikeouts, this guy's really adapted his game and made him a much better player. Much more valuable player to his team, that's for sure. Without that change, I don't know that you see Toronto moving as forward as they have. The pitching staff, you know, certainly is noteworthy. And some other factors for that team. But I think that he's the leader of that team, and that's a pretty cool stat. Him? And I got to mention Hank Aaron of Wisconsin. So, I mean, you know, that never hurts, right? Right? I can always get some points for that one. 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation, everybody. Before we go to break, our story of the show is also a melancholy one. Loyola University Chicago's sister Jean Dolores Schmidt passed away at the age of 106. This happened yesterday, but I wanted to note it. She was a Catholic nun, a campus minister, and official chaplain of the Ramblers men's basketball team. Many of us that love NCAA basketball and March Madness got to know Sister Jean during the Ramblers' run some years back. But did you know that Sister Jean was a civil rights movement leader? She fought hard in this, was very active in that. She was actually a California girl. She's from out there. Was born and raised out there, went to high school out that way. And there is a Sister Jean Day on December 1st. December 1st is Sister Jean Day, they pronounced. Quite a human being. Quite a life. And she will be missed. She was a wonderful part of everything that we love about college basketball and football. And college athletics, I should say. Just college athletics, period. What is college sports without the pageantry, without the tradition, without the loyalty, without the love? Are we going to find out? Because I feel like these days I hear more complaints about college athletics than I do talking about highlights. And as somebody who just loves college sports, all forms of it. I watch, Big Ten track meets. Like, I can't get enough of it. I love it. I don't know. I don't look at it maybe with the big wide eyes that I did when I was a kid. But that's kind of on me. Because as I got older, and by that I mean like 16, 17, I saw the game for what it was. I understood that there's a lot of stuff that happens under the table. I understood that there's a lot of other factors and just this university and this kid being a perfect match. And to be fair, you know, my background, I kind of already knew a lot of those things anyway. But I never walked into college athletics wide-eyed. I never looked at it as anything innocent or sweet. But I did look at it as a tradition. I did look at it as, well, loyalty means something. And journalistic integrity. There may not be many things more important to me in this world, in my family, I should say, that we were raised with, than loyalty. Loyalty is a gigantic part of who you are. And that was something that really drew me to college sports. No matter what, even if your team's not doing good, you stand by that team. Yeah, it's easy to stand with them when they're doing good. But what kind of fan are you? You stand by your team even when they're bad. And there was something to that to me. And it meant something. It meant something to be a kid from the evil Empire State, and not New York, but the one south of you here. To go to grade school, to go to junior high and high school out here, and never blinking, always owning who I was, always being honest about who I was, if not annoying about it at times. I feel that that's something that we can relate to out there. That's something that brings us to sports. And for me, I haven't really lost a lot of that with college sports, to be honest. I don't feel a lot of that. I don't like what's going on with the transfer portal in the sense of players not fulfilling their commitments. I like players having power. I have no problem with a player wanting to move on. If you don't want to be here, I don't want you. I think it's pretty easy. You're worried about playing time, go play for, Kent State. You're going to start there. You're going to build up some stats over there. Go on. Shout out, nothing against Kent State. Sorry. Sorry to end me. There's probably somebody out there. Knowing my luck, there's one person out there, a Kent State grad. What the what, man? I don't have a problem with that. What I have an issue with, is what Michael and I were really hitting on the other day, is the idea of not fulfilling your commitment, which is, to me, playing in the bowl game, whether it's the Rose Bowl or it's the, you know, Duke's Mayo Bowl. Go out there and play. I don't think we're teaching young adults anything by letting them just get away with that stuff. And that's why you're seeing some of the other things going on. And then there's something else going on with the NCAA. And I want to get into that when we get back. Right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing on 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc., for the hero in you.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
This is 105.5 WIRI.
In your darkest hour, eyes, 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 look into my eyes, eyes, eyes. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you.
WIRI. On your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Sunshine and beautiful for your Saturday, high in the mid-60s. Clouds move in Sunday, chance for showers late, and the wind picks up. Highs in the upper 60s, a few spots near 70. Currently, it's 66.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 5 o'clock somewhere. Thank you, Mr. Jackson and Buffett. Hope you guys are having a good one out there, enjoying yourselves. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. We want to hear from you. We look forward to talking with you. Got a couple of other things I want to get into. And before we wrap up, we are not going to dodge it. We are going to get into this stone-skimming controversy. Dun, dun, dun. Got that coming up for you. River Kings, I want to talk some Kings with you as well. But for those who didn't see, and taking this from the Associated Press, just came out a little bit before noon today. Senator Mary Cartwell, D out of Washington, sent a letter to Big Ten presidents Friday, warning that a move into private equity could have negative consequences, including impacting the school's tax-exempt status. Quote, the primary goal of these companies is to make money for the firm, which is unlikely to align with the academic goals of the university or its obligations as a non-for-profit organization. The Big Ten has been exploring, and boy, exploring has never been, working so hard. They're doing a lot more than exploring. a partnership with private equity firms, with reports saying it could be looking at a $2 billion investment that would involve placing the sale of its media rights and other assets under a new entity, particularly owned by the equity investors. And this is where I come to, all of a sudden, I start to feel a little different about college football. I understood from a very young age that money was involved. The money, none of this happens without it. I'm a grown man. I get that. This is a lot different for me. Because up until, and not to say that every penny that every university in this country has gotten has been clean. Again, we're all adults, let's be honest. By the law of averages, by the sheer law of science and all that is, chances are a couple pennies here and there might not have been the most honest pennies. But this money, and when we're talking about money from overseas like this, there is no tracing it, for one. There is no knowing where it comes from. And this comes down to a big part of what universities are all about. We've heard our whole lives, universities are not just about education, but about learning to be a good human being, about learning how to be a part of a society, to be a part of your community, to add to it, not be a negative to it. What are we teaching people when it's just about money? Is college athletics going under? Do they have a GoFundMe page? Are they having a garage sale down in Madison right now at UW? I missed this. Do they need $2 billion? Like, how much is enough? What is the point of this other than greed? Other than we want to make more than the millions we're already making if you're one of these higher-ups. Big Ten Commissioner Tony Padetti was short on specifics about the conference's basketball media at the conference's basketball media days. Quote, whether or not we need strategic investment to help us will determine. It will be done by all 18 leaders. I think it's no different than looking at other buckets that we have to maximize resources. It's a lot different. Those other buckets are not tainted the way this one is. What this is not, that you don't like this in your sports, well, then I don't either. I don't like this in my sports either, man, but I'm also not going to be quiet about it. This is ridiculous. How much money is too much money? They don't need it. The Big Ten is not only competing with the SEC, they just won the last two national championships. And how is it that the SEC, that football is a religion down there, they're not looking at this? Sure they are. They all are. And whether they think they need the money or not, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it okay. What are you morally saying about this? And I, again, understand what I'm saying. But what are we doing here? If we're not even going to play pretend anymore, it's all about the money. That's the driving factor. That's what we're going to teach all the greatest young minds at every university in the country. Take the money. Forget about everything else. All this is just pageantry. All this doesn't even matter. We're just selling out to the biggest buyer. I get the NFL doing it. I get NBA, NHL. I get that they're going to do it. They're a business. If you walk into sports and you think it's anything other than a business, that's on you. They tell you right out the gate it's a business. Why do you think they charge for everything? Because it's a business. That's what they do. It's no different than half these people in the media nowadays that you don't really know what they think. They're just paid. You know what they're paid to think. You know that part. You don't know what they generally think. Tucker Carlson himself has come out and said a million times that he didn't believe half the stuff he was saying. And every one of them are pretty much similar to this in many regards on the major outlets and stuff. They're being very blunt about this in some regards, and in others, they're being extremely like, no, 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 don't look over here. Don't look at this. If you find it boring, you don't find it sexy, I get it. I don't either. But to not talk about it, to not address it, is to be complacent. Is to lay down and just... Yeah, I can't do that. I love college sports. I love college athletics. This is much more, this is the more dangerous thing. Got everybody worrying about transfer portals and, you know, what 18 and 17-year-olds are doing. And, oh, they're not making good decisions, because we all made great decisions at 17 and 18. Meanwhile, the adults, this is what they're up to. Look, man, I'm Italian. I'm not going to give you a lot more details than that. But this is as old as the story it gets. Oh, we're going to give you this. And hey, we just, you know what? We just want this and this. But now that you took the money, guess what? There's other things that are coming into play. And if you think that $2 billion and all they're going to be doing is a little bit with the media and everything's just going to go on as normal, that ain't the way it's going to go. And you are condoning whitewashing this money. And as far as I knew, that wasn't cool. We didn't do that here in this country. We weren't all right with that. Why at our major universities will we be doing this? We already got the pro teams doing it. I get that. But I can't add to that. This is the way it's going to go. This, for me, would be the death of college football, sports, period. Because I can't. I'm not good with that. And I'm not saying that our country has, you know, no blood on its hands and we're completely innocent of things and stuff. There's a big difference, man. A big difference. See where this goes. Going to be following along. Let's talk schedule, because we are a sports show. And as a sports show, you have to talk scheduling. And it's an interesting one. Before we get too far ahead, though, let's talk about last night's game a little bit. I talked about this with Michael the other day, when what kind of Eagles team would we see? And we are going to learn a lot about the Eagles season here. And yes, there's a lot of games to be played. We are in week 6 of 18 weeks. And we've seen this team in particular come back before. But we haven't seen them fat and happy. And it's kind of the way the Eagles seem right now. They've done a lot of winning. They've played a lot of games. They've been to a Super Bowl and lost, been to the last Super Bowl, reigning champs, feeling good about things, whole league against us. Nobody likes to tush-push but our fans. Nobody can stop it, blah, blah, blah. You get a coach like Sirianni, and you get a quote-unquote leader like that that gets fat and happy, and he's not actually fat at all, but it's the phrasing. You know what I mean by it. When it comes to that, Where do you get what I was talking about with the baseball playoffs and Murphy and Council going, you know, in this chess match and the hunger and the drive and who wants it and all that, and who's locked in? That's what a good manager, that's what a good coach does. That's his job. And looking at what the way the Philadelphia Eagles football organization is run, that's literally pretty much the only thing Nick Sirianni is in charge of, is, you know, the locker room and the momentum and the energy and the positivity or whatever. Whatever it is to get that team locked in and to play better. And that's why I was saying that you're going to see what you got here. You're going up against a heated rival. Are you going to go out there? You're going to punch him in the mouth? You're going to take the W? Or are you going to get walked on? And we saw what happened. Yeah, there's a lot of injuries on that team. They've had a lot of injuries before and been fine. You've got a lot of money and a lot of big personalities in that locker room. And the guy that's making the most amount of money may be one of the least most talented ones in the locker room. And that's not saying that Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. But he's not... He's not what they need him to be. He's not what a lot of NFL quarterbacks need to be in this day and age. And whether it's Saquon Barkley or A.J. Brown or Javonte Smith or any of these guys, they're incredibly talented, and they're not being used to their full potential. And you got a team that's 4-2. You know, it's not sky's not falling to most of us. A lot of us out there would kill for a 4-2 record right now. But these last two losses at this point in the season, where you really can't have it, this is the grind part of the schedule. This is, you put your head down and let's get through it. We got to go over to the other other part of the country and play a game. Just put your head down, go out there, get the W, keep playing, on to next week. This is where you really need your team locked in. This is where you really need your team and you find out what you're made of. And you can really see, okay, well, these guys are locked in. They're even playing well in this week. They're even playing well against these opponents. One of the reasons it's tough for me to trust the Buffalo Bills, they play down to their opponents. They always have. And it's hard for me to trust a team like that. Give me a team like Tampa Bay. Give me a team that it don't matter who they're playing. They're going to go out there and they believe that they're going to win. They believe they're going to play their hearts out. You need to be that type of team. The Giants might be becoming that kind of team. They've already had a coach in place that's that kind of guy. I don't think Daboll's a bad coach. I think he's everything that Sirianni wishes he was in many ways. And if you give him some talent to play with, if some scouting and some things actually worked out for the Giants here, that could be a fun team. Especially for the next couple of years. I journalistically will mention that I've been a fan of Cam Scataboo for, I think, last three seasons in college football. And, like his story. I like him as a personality. So, and how you gonna not like a kid named Cam Scataboo? Like that, it's a running back. It almost is like the kind of like the sound that he makes when he's shifting and everything. Scataboo. They could have something there. And I think that you could very well see the end of Philly's run. You could see A.J. Brown traded. You could see a number of different things happening with that team. That certainly means a lot if you happen to be a team that with Super Bowl expectations and you reside in the NFC. And that brings us to the Green Bay Packers, who have also had a couple of games back-to-back that have not gone the way that, you know, fans or that locker room wants to. And this is where we find out what they're made of. And I don't mean necessarily the team, but Matt LaFleur and that coaching staff. Because anything you want to say, any conversation that begins with a player, Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Micah Parsons, any of these names, it ends with Matt LaFleur. It ends with the guy making the big bucks, sitting in the big chair, getting the big piece of chicken at the end. It ends with him. And I understand not wanting to do press conferences. I get that these coaches, all they want to do is eat, sleep, and breathe football. That's part of how they got into the position that they're in. I have no problem with that. That is what it is. But if it's true that their approach, their takeaway from the way that Dallas game ended was, no, we don't need to, his own quote, no, we don't need to practice it more. We shifted some things around and we're good. Well, listen to what half of these coaches, Sean McVay, and what they talk about with special teams. Listen to Vrabel talking about what they did and how their game ended and how serious they take those last second plays or those red zone situations or special teams in general. And they grind on it and they make sure that these players understand what's on the line. What are you doing if you're not doing that as a coach? What are you spending your time on? Because if you're spending your time on X's and O's and trying to come up with the perfect plays, well, man, that hasn't worked for seasons here. Like, I don't know how Matt LaFleur would be as a coach without talent. We don't know. We have not seen it. He's had a Hall of Fame quarterback going on to a top five, top 10 quarterback. All Green Bay has done every season is give him more talent, more toys, more things to work with. And I have not seen him grow as a coach. I don't believe Matt LaFleur is a better coach now than he was in his rookie year. We haven't seen that. And the accountability thing. I'm not talking about just, phoning it in. Yeah, I take full accountability. Everything, the buck stops with me or whatever. Yeah, don't give me what the teleprompter is telling you to say. Where's the emotion behind it? Where is the actual, care? It feels like the ego is so big on that guy. Well, no, we don't need to do those things. I just need to, it's on the players, and they need to, get the plays done faster. again, it starts with you, man. Because if they're not doing that, you're not coaching them right. You're not pushing them hard enough in practice, or you're not going over the right things in practice. And if you are a coach of any on any level in any sport, and you don't believe that, get out of the locker room. You don't belong in there. You don't deserve to be a head coach. You straight up do not deserve it. If you don't get that truly, and again, I don't mean just saying, you know, the lines, because that's the way, that's what every coach says, and that's what you do. I'm talking about feeling. I'm talking about show me the evidence. Let's see how they come out this week. You got a team on the ropes. You got a team with a 40-year-old quarterback who just got there. I'm not saying that they got to blow out the Bengals, but they got to go out there and they got to show you something here. And I don't mean the fan base. The fan base is going to love you no matter what. Packer fans are diehard. I mean to each other. Those players got to show to each other no matter what. This is a special season. We are not going to let this slip away. We are not going to treat this like it's any other season. We got an opportunity here. Your biggest competitor in the NFC is on the ropes. It's time to take out the monster. It's time to take them out completely. You got Philly coming up on the schedule. You got to put a hurting on them. We're going to find out. Talk a little bit more about the schedule, our schedule around here as well, and get some River Kings conversation in as well. We'll do all that before we wrap up here on Playmakers. We speak sport.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with Wham Incorporated. Wham Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. Wham Inc., for the hero in you.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug to driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Sunshine and beautiful for your Saturday, high in the mid-60s. Clouds move in Sunday, chance for showers late, and the wind picks up. Highs in the upper 60s, a few spots near 70. Currently, it's 66.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. going to wrap up the show, take it to the top of the hour, get things done here. Thinking of Miss Lambert playing us in. Hope you all are having a great night out there. Feel free to call us in these last 5 minutes, 424-2600. Call or text us through the Civic Media app as well. Appreciate y'all listening and joining us all week long. We'll be back at this next week all over again. We'll be having some fun, more playmakers coming up for you next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Be sure to join us for that. Otherwise, you got some great stuff coming up in a little bit here. I see that Laura's going to be here, and you got some great music. I'm looking at some Rodney Atkins, Winona, Lone Star, Granger Smith. Bunch of good music coming up for you tonight. Also got some other good stuff going on tonight. We have a great one. Our final high school football game of the season. Wisconsin Dells at Nakusa, 6:50. Head on over and join us as we hear some Papermaker football. Mike and Don going to be running this one. Don coming over to the board. Gotta love that. That's awesome. Be sure to join us for it. Should be a good one. Our final one of the season. Big thank you to everybody that makes these games possible. We appreciate you all. Enjoy some good commentary tonight. Michael's going to have a fun time. He's going to have a good game. Also wanted to remind you that on 97.5 FM, WFHR, brother station across the hall, Wisconsin Badgers are hosting Iowa. 4 o'clock, our pregame will kick off for that one over there. I don't know what to say about that game. I don't know how that one's going to turn out. I have no idea. I genuinely do. I'm not trying to joke around. I really don't know what to think. That could very well be a 6-3 game. It could also be a 30-30 game or 33-30 game or something like that. Who knows? We do have more high school sports on a radio dial next week. Be talking about that a little bit next week. But we also will have River Kings hockey, including our first home game of the season. River Kings hosting the Hudson Havoc. Couldn't have made that tougher on myself. It's going to be a good one. Kings, of course, in action right now, out of town, up in Jersey. Our good friend, Coach Peckham's old stomping grounds, Coach Paul's old stomping grounds. Yesterday, a loss for the Kings, but they're back at it tonight. They are going to be taking on, I just had this in my computer, of course, had to move on me here. But the River Kings are in action tonight, and they are taking on the Connecticut Junior Rangers. Oh, and that game's already gone on. Yeah, that's a final. I'm sorry, that's a final. 2-0. River Kings win, baby. River Kings victory. When I brought this up a little bit a while ago, I didn't have any score, so I didn't see that the game was already going on. I apologize. Nice 2-0 victory for the Kings, a part of the Hitman tournament going on right now. Pretty good to see. Follow your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. Head on over there, everybody. And again, first home games of the season coming up next week. Make plans to be at the Southland County Rec Center as they build hockey up and down the river. Skipping stones feels like an activity that'd be pretty hard to do illegally, but it happened. The World Stone Skimming Championships were recently rocked by a cheating scandal after some competitors were found to have been suspiciously circulating the stones. You know, skimming stones, stone skimming, that kind of thing. It helps with them being a little rounder. According to the competition's rules, stones must come from the naturally occurring island state and fit through a device called the Ring of Truth to ensure that they are the right size, no bigger than 3 inches in diameter. The championship's organizer said that the offenders were caught and red-handed on this one. And there was, quote, a little bit of stone doctoring. I think cheating in general is just wrong, no matter what level. I don't care what we're talking about. Cheating, wrong. But I mean, to cheat in something like this, I don't know how you held your head up about many things in life if you've done something like this. Like cheating on any level, but again, in something as simple as this. This feels like cheating at a church sack race. Like, why? What are you doing? The ends, like, this is not worth it, man. And getting caught is so, like, oh, man, that is a bad one. Here's hoping that this is the last of these controversies going on for the Stone Skimming Championships. Did you ever do that as a kid? I always enjoyed it. I wasn't too bad at it. Skipping stones. I wasn't too bad at it. Not bad. Just a couple of things I wanted to touch on real quick before we get out of here. Our good friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church have their community book sale going on. Bag sale tomorrow, 8:30 to 1, $2 a bag. All you can fit in there. Get over to the church at 310 First Avenue South and enjoy that one and help out profits going to the Mid-State Technical College Scholarships. And WRCT has their Golden Variety Show going on tomorrow at 2. Be sure to head on over there and check that out. Some of our local voices around here will be a part of it. And, of course, it'll be a fun community event. Check that out over at the WRCT Auditorium. And have yourselves a great weekend, everybody.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Friday. We made it, everyone. I apologize for not being here on air with you yesterday. I was busy being here behind the scenes while we ran that soccer game for y'all. Speaking of high school sports, we've got some high school sports coming up tonight as well, which means that Laura's laid back pick of the day is going to happen at 6:30 and Lauren's Lounge is going to end right before that game starts. So without further ado, let's get it going with Rodney Atkins.
Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his boost.